Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live cynical series. And this is the ebook series where we take Reverend Father Dr. Joseph Leo Iannuzzi's doctoral dissertation and we methodically go through it. Again, it's spellbounding what's in there. We're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more. The spirit of faith, hope, and love. The spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God. The spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility. The spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to cough, so I'm going to mute myself. Pardon my allergies today. But again, glorious to come together today, have the opportunity. Everything is working. Grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually. And we are truly blessed to be alive at this time. We really are. And we're finding that out every day, every moment, that the world goes one way and we go the other way. Beautiful. We talked about the divine will being a cock, God being the power, the master cock, for lack of a better phrase. And he's called some to be drawn closer to him. He explains this in volume 16, February 2nd. 1924. So I'm just going to try to scratch it. I'm not going to be able to explain it. But basically, he's calling these few, could be us, could be the divine willies, to grow closer to him, closer than anyone has ever been before. Of course, as close as Mary, Adam, and Eve at one point in time, Mary always. And he's calling us to do that so that everything he's going to be giving us now can be disseminated to all the other cogs. We're all cogs together. There's no greater cog, lesser cog. But if we fail to do that, the power stops. Not the source of the power, but the power being given or received, I should say. So it cannot be disseminated. So please, when you have time, volume 16, February 2nd, 1924. The divine will, sort of cloudy, very cloudy at one point in time. And now as we're journeying, the clouds seem to be dissipating. We're starting to see it more clearly every day. And that's one of those answers to, I think, when we mentioned about awakening spiritually. I think every day we're broadening our awakening in our spirituality, in our mysticism, which is in us, but of course has been dormant for many, many years. Let me do this before I go any further. We have with us Maureen today. We missed her last week. Hello, Maureen.
Hi, Peter. Good to be here. Hi, everybody.
Yeah. And the good news and the bad news is you didn't miss anything, Maureen. You know why? Because why? Last week, unbeknownst to me, I repeated the lesson from the previous week. I mean,
maybe that was the divine will. Maybe.
No, but it seemed all new to me. I was all blank and new. And, you know, that's so amazing about everything we do, everything we watch, everything we read, we listen to. I mean, just take, for example, I highly recommend if you have not done it yet, but on the front page of our website, we have Father Iannuzzi's retreat in the Philippines from 2013. And it is magnificent. It answers all the questions. It's great for a priest to watch if they can find the time. But I've watched that somewhere between 25 and 30 times. And every time I come away watching it, I scratch my head and say, was that there? Because I come away with something new. And that's
like scripture.
The
yeah,
it is scripture. Absolutely, absolutely. Because the more we are charging our batteries, the more power we can give to what God has given to us. It's all about our response. So yeah, we are starting to see the divine will much better than we ever have or ever can with the gift of living the divine will. So again, we're starting out with, I think this is the fourth, maybe fifth session on the divinization. Why is it taking five sessions? Because it's the divinization. It's extremely important. It's the reason why God is coming in this intermediate coming, as we're going to find out later. And just as an FYI, excuse me, at the conclusion of this cenacle, we're going to go into a very short, impromptu, casual, relaxed introduction of St. Cyril of Jerusalem, whose feast day it is today. So if you can stay from about 8 to 8:30, maybe 8:25, that'll be great. But if you can't, everything will be posted, hopefully, on the website, if I can push all the proper buttons. So Maria, I'm going to ask you if we can maybe rehash a little bit in the red, and then we'll go to the lesson, and I'll make sure it's the right lesson today. I highlighted it in purple for Advent, for Lent, I should say. Advent. we can begin with the introduction again. This is the summary. And again, what Father Inuzzi did was he took all the volumes, he translated them, he summarized them, he gave a summary like he is going to do here in the Divinization of Man, and then he drives us into the volumes where God speaks of it. And this is what was given high accolades, abrogation, approval. His task was met. He succeeded. And he was proving, he set out to prove that everything in the divine will, everything that Louisa penned, everything is grounded in our faith. Whether it be the patristics, the doctors, the fathers, the magisterium, and the catechism, it doesn't matter. It has to be in our faith somewhere. And he successfully defended that. Incredible, incredible work, incredible jump start as we await the critical edition, which may or may not be a bit of times, but we have this, and this is a treasure. Okay, Maureen, I'll be quiet.
Okay. 5.3.7.1, divinization of man. Maximus refers to the divinization in Christ and in us, respectively, through the fulfilled and coming ages of God's wisdom. The former pertaining to the activity of Christ becoming man, which have reached their proper conclusion, and the latter pertaining to the mystical and ineffable divinization of humanity that still await their actual and total fulfillment. Louisa picks up the thread of the Maximian twofold ages in her depiction of the time reserved for the outpouring of the gift of living in the divine will. Her theology reflects the fulfillment of the Maximian coming ages and identifies it as the outpouring of the gift of living in the divine will that is experienced by those souls who continuously cooperate with God's eternal operation. In such souls, God progressively fulfills Jesus's petition in the Our Father prayer that his Father's divine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Inasmuch as Jesus's humanity alone transcended the limitations of the redeemed human creature and divinized all human activity, the soul of the redeemed human creature must be completely divinized and transformed into Jesus, whose humanity unceasingly operates within the Trinity.
Wow. So that's the summary. And we've, over the last 4 or 5 weeks, we've gotten to footnote number 265. And I think we've actually got two more footnotes after this one that we're going to conclude today on basically this right here, that his Father's divine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The fulfillment of the Our Father. In essence, the crux of the mission of Jesus. Incredible. So we're going to hit a couple things that we've covered, but I think lays a good foundation for what we're going to do. And again, please watch me, Maureen. We have to start with something highlighted in purple. Okay, so if I don't do that, please yell at me.
Okay.
Okay, we'll start here.
Okay. 3.1.3 from Father Iannuzzi's doctoral dissertation. Jesus reveals to Louisa, by withdrawing from the divine will, Adam placed himself at a distance from his Creator. This distance debilitated him, impoverished him, disoriented him completely, and caused disorientation in all generations, because when evil is in the root, the entire tree is forced to feel its malignant effect, the bad humors that are in the root. In creating Adam, we acted like a father who shares his life and places his goods in common with his son. Now the son's disobedience in rebelling against his own father constrains the father in sorrow to place him outside of his dwelling and no longer allow his son to possess his life or goods in common. Yet the father's love is so great that even from a distance, he does not deprive his son of the essential things, the means of strict necessity, because he knows that if he withdraws himself, his son's life is finished. Such is my divine will. It withdrew its life from Adam, but left him its light to serve as his help, support, and the necessary means to keep him from completely perishing. Now, because the divine will withdrew its life, all of God's creations and works for man remain veiled. Even my divinity, in descending from heaven to earth, veiled itself within my humanity. Oh, if creatures were to possess the life of my will, immediately they would know me, for it unveils who I am.
And there's so much here, too, that we don't have time to go over. But, you know, I was thinking, Maureen, you know, the father's actions here are really no different than in the nuclear family, what a mother or father would do. You know, if you have to be in that unfortunate situation where it's unsafe or whatever the situation is that a sibling has to leave the house, you don't stop loving them. You don't stop supporting them from afar. That first came to mind. Number two, it mentions also here about what we talked about, that when Adam lost everything, he really didn't lose everything, because if he had lost everything, he would have ceased to exist. So in essence, the divine will was kept intact, was in place to breathe Adam's lungs, to flow Adam's blood, and to beat Adam's heart. And that's what we inherited. We inherited that, in essence, life, because without such, Adam would have ceased to exist. And if he ceased, we wouldn't be here. Okay, we have another highlight here that I think is important as a foundation. We covered all this already. Okay, so I'll go back up here. And if you would, please, Maureen.
Okay. I was thinking about the act in which Jesus had the Last Supper with his disciples, and my lovable Jesus told me in my interior, "My daughter, while I was having supper with my disciples, I was surrounded not only by them, but by the whole human family. I had all creatures near me one by one. I knew them all, and I called them by name. I also called you, and I gave you the place of honor between me and John, constituting you the little secretary of my will."
Perfect definition or explanation of Article 66 of the Catholic Catechism, which states no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, but it is for what's already been given to us to be better understood over the course of centuries. Did we know Louisa was at the Last Supper? Of course not. Did we know that we were being called by name, that we were present? I mean, maybe some of you did, but I was startled by that. Startled.
Jesus just keeps giving, doesn't he? I mean, he's always giving to us. It's amazing.
He is. And again, Article 67 states that it's through the words of mystics, approved mystics, of course, that the mysticism that is in each and every one of us is awakened. And one thing that comes to mind, Maureen, here is, again, talking about the Last Supper, at the Last Supper, which again was the ordination, was the first mass, in the City of God, Blessed Mary of Agreda, in book number 4, they talk about the Last Supper. And then they talk about the mass, Jesus' first mass after ordaining the priests, bishops. The first one to receive Holy Communion was our Blessed Lady. And it explains what happened was after the consecration was performed, Angel Gabriel came down from heaven and took the host and gave it to the Blessed Mother, the first one to receive her son. That is astonishing. So again, there's a lot to be said here. You know, there's so many things. And you know, one other thing comes to mind too, Maureen, you know, like the wedding of Cana, when Jesus' mission began. That's also the anniversary of when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan. It's amazing. And there's one other thing too. It's like two anniversaries. Oh, it's also on the anniversary of the three kings? Well, definitely the baptism of the boy Jordan, but I forget the second one, but there was like three, like a trilogy. So, you know, God is, he's really amusing us, I think, he's keeping everything lively.
I remember reading where, I love the mystics. I mean, it's just, I love it. They really add things to help us meditate, I think, for me, to meditate better on things. And at the wedding feast of Cana, when Jesus says, "Woman, my hour has not come." And it sounds a little stern, but in the poem of the man God, it says he looked at her and smiled. You know what I mean? Like a little side smile. So it really adds to their how they were together. You know, I love it.
Actually, that was displayed in a movie when they were at the wedding of Cana. I forget what movie it was. I don't know if it was the, I don't know which one it was. But anyway, at that exchange, there was this warm, telling exchange of smiles.
Yeah.
Like Jesus great. Saying, "I knew you're going to do this." And Mary, Blessed Mother saying, "I know you're going to do this." You know, I don't know if I can find this too quickly. Everything's ad hoc here, but Jesus tells us in the Virgin Mary in the kingdom, if you want miracles, go to my mother, for there's nothing that I will deny of her. And then we also hear even more astonishing or as astonishing that the Holy Trinity is incapable of saying no to the Blessed Mother.
Mm-hmm. They owe her. I think it says somewhere we owe her or something.
Think about like, that.
Wow. Yeah.
My goodness. Okay. So I think we have another couple here. I think there's the purple Maureen. So please be
okay.
Make sure. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
How many souls, after having enjoyed my favors and my presence, not having in them the fullness of my will, its light and its sanctity, have engulfed themselves again in sin, have taken part in pleasures and have separated from me, because that divine will which renders the soul untouchable from sin, even the slightest one, was not in them. Therefore, the most pure, the most holy, and the greatest works are formed in those who possess all the fullness of my will.
This is incredible. You can do a whole segment on this as well. But Jesus talks about the efficacy of his Holy Eucharist, which has the full power by blood, soul, and divinity, the divine will itself. But it is limited based on our disposition, or lack thereof. So the efficacy is touched there. Another thing also, that the divine will, which renders the soul untouchable from sin. And this comes to mind, the free will of the saints in heaven. They didn't lose their free will. And we know what free will can do. We can actually sin with free will. Although they have free will, they're never going to sin. They're never going to sin because the divine will renders the soul untouchable from sin. It barricades sin. It doesn't discharge our free will, but we have no reason to exercise it. And we're protected from even the thought of it. I think that's incredible. We have another one down here, Maureen, please. Mm-hmm.
So in the creature, the will is not thought, but it gives life to the act of her mind. It is not I, but it gives life to her gaze, because if it has a will, the eye wants to see, wants to know things. Otherwise, it is as if the eye had no life. The will is not word, but it gives life to each word. It is not hand, but it gives life to the action. It is not step, but gives life to the step. It is not love, desire, affection, but it gives life to love, to desire, to affection.
Soul permeates through the body. That's a scary thought when we talk about sin. but we're going toward that that era where we're not going to be able to sin, untouchable from sin, hopefully soon. And last but not least, Mark, please.
Okay. Therefore, everything is written, formed, sealed in the human will. And if this happens in the human will, only because I sowed in it the seed and the likeness to mine, think about what my will is within myself and what it will be if the creature lets herself be possessed by my will.
Right there, the therefore. The therefore, everything is written, formed, and sealed in the human will. St. Augustine, I think, is the one that one of which that states that the human will is the greatest tool that we possess. And you may say, why? Because it constantly gets us in trouble. But remember, in the human will is that opportunity to exercise, not to keep it in charge anymore. In essence, in the human will, we can elect to defer our human will in exchange for God's divine will. It's a mechanism, it's a trigger. It's the way to give our fiat. So I can understand. I didn't understand it at first, but I'm understanding it now through the gift of the divine will. Again, the explication, everything, scripture, everything becomes better understood. It doesn't complete it. It doesn't add words to it, but it adds an understanding to it, which of course is in words. Okay. Purple Maureen.
Hey, here we go. Okay. Volume 23, December 22nd, 1927. Sacrifices of Writing. How one who operates only for God encloses a divine life in his act. How one who is chosen for a mission encloses all the goods which others must receive. How all redeemed ones turn around the celestial mama, the creation mirror of man. After having spent almost entire night writing, I was feeling exhausted of strength, and I thought to myself, how many sacrifices, how this blessed writing costs me. What will be the utility, the good, the glory I give to my Creator? If with these sacrifices I will be able to make known the kingdom of the divine fiat, so much the better. But if I do not obtain this, my sacrifices of writing will be useless and empty and without effects. Now, while I was thinking about this, my lovable Jesus came out from within my interior and clasping me to himself to give me strength, he told me, beloved daughter of my divine volition, courage in going forward. Nothing is useless of what is done for me. In fact, when the soul does even just one act for me, she comes to enclose the whole of me within her act. And by enclosing me, her act acquires the value of a divine life, which is more than sun. And the sun, by its own nature, excels over all other things in giving light, heat, and effects of innumerable goods to all the earth. So everything that is done for me by its own nature must bring the effects of the great good which the divine life contains.
You know, this is a huge paradigm shift, especially when Jesus speaks about, again, I'm going to paraphrase, he speaks about one act in the divine will, even something what we may consider insignificant, a blinking of the eye in the divine will, Jesus says, is greater than all the acts of all humans of all time, including all the saints combined. Why? Because it's inside, not from the outside. Yeah, again, they're good, they're holy, they're wonderful acts, but they don't possess that divine light, that heat that he talks about. That's startling, Maureen, to think about. And another thing that's really, I use the word startling, but I can't think of another word right now, is magnificent is the fact that Jesus states that anyone in the state of grace with a ardent desire for this gift may receive it at any time on loan, at any moment. Think about that. He says, anybody in the state of grace with an ardent desire at any moment can receive this. Now, again, not in its totality, but will receive it on loan. And he also states that usually the loan is for one act, to do that one act.
Yeah.
And we know what the one act does. It brings us in, not just into the garden. It brings us into the sphere of God, the Holy Trinity, everything.
I remember when I first heard that, I was so hopeful, because when you're first learning this, you're thinking, I mean, I would be thinking to myself, this is going to take me a lifetime. But then when I heard that Jesus would give it to us on loan, I was like, amen. I know that'll work for me, hopefully, till I get it down.
I had the same response when your dad, because it's Deacon John Thompson, and that's Deacon's daughter, Emery. When he introduced the divine, first time we heard the word Louisa Picketet and the Divine Will, October 13th, 2014. And I remember a couple of days after that, we met right away. And I was just spellbound. And then Deacon comes and he says, okay, there's 36 volumes. I said, no. I thought about going back for a master's degree about 10 times. I never did it. I'm too old for school. How am I possibly going to get through 36 volumes? Yeah, I'm working. I'm trying to be a husband, trying to be a father. There's no way I can do it. And that's a real big fear. But we've all learned, I think, that once you start to dip your foot in the water or you dip your toe in the water is not really very cold. It's actually very warm. And then you can go a little deeper. And before you know it, the water's coming to you. So we find, again, I think all of us, we have conversations with many people all over the world, but they, as they're reading one little verse or one little passage or even a part of a passage, because of our repetition of reading these passages, the one passage will link us to another passage that links us to another passage that will link us to the catechism, that will link us to the scripture, and then it brings it all to a big crescendo. And that happens even with the smallest bit of reading. Again, I'm not advocating, please. I'll get a couple of phone calls from the priest. You know, Peter, you're telling people don't read a lot. No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is whatever you do read is going to be magnified. And again, it's your intention. God knows how much time we have or we don't have. So we do the best we can. And we have to make time. We can't invent 25 hours in a day, but we can make better use of the time which we use it with. And again, the souls in purgatory explain that to us, that they wish, if they had a wish, they wish that when they were on earth and when they were living, that they had made better use of the time. And again, we can all, I think there's a song that live today like it's your last day. And if you think about that, we'd have a glorious day if today was our last day. But again, we don't know when our last day is going to be. So treat every day like it's our last day, not in a negative, but in a positive. Mm-hmm. Okay. Again, in giving light, it excels over all other things in giving light, heat, and effects of innumerable goods to all the earth. So again, here we talk about that that accidental glory, the grace given to everything of all time based on that one act that we cooperated with God in. So all the souls of the past benefit from that, all the souls of the future benefit from that, and all the souls alive today benefit from that. God sends down sort of like this dew. And what is that dew? What is this grace that's being sent? Well, it's being sent to help dispose the creature or us to be receptive to this gift. I mean, we know sometimes when it's mentioned, a little bit of a light goes off. You know, a little bit. It's a very dim light, but it's a little bit of a light. And we didn't do anything to cause that light, but it's in us somehow, some way. Mystical gifts, remember, are not given equally like our baptismal gifts are. They're given impartially to whomever God pleases, to whatever degree God pleases, when God pleases. So we receive that mystical gift. If we're recognizing the divine will as something not ordinary, we've received at least one, maybe multiple gifts. So this dew that God is going to send down, this accidental glory that's going to touch upon everyone, it's going to make everyone damp. And that dampness is to, again, I'm using an analogy of a dew, is to help them be disposed, to help that little bit of a flicker of light that'll just make them take notice and just start to read or start to listen or start to ponder it. So how, you know, a lot of questions we get is, how, you know, how can we help mankind? How can we help the current situation in the world?
Yeah.
By being in the state of grace, having the ardent desire for the divine will, and praying that God gives us that act on loan, the gift on loan, so that we can perform that act. And all that due can be released again and again and again to dispose all creatures who are disposed to be disposed, I guess you want to call it. It's really amazing. It's really amazing. Okay. Thanks, Brian.
Okay. Moreover, you must know that all the knowledges and manifestations which I give you about my will and which you write on paper do not depart from you, but remain centralized in you like rays inside their sphere. And this sphere is my very divine will reigning in you, which delights with great love in adding ever new rays, which it makes with its knowledges in this sphere, so that creatures may find enough light to know it and enrapturing attractions to love it.
You know, when I read that, Maureen, about the sort of like this replication that's happening in us, you know, it stays within us, whatever we do in the divine will, and it starts to fester, starts to grow. And I kind of thought about a very negative thing, but, you know, I mean, I'm talking to a nurse. You know, the way cancer grows indiscreetly, unknown most times until we get a checkup, it just, you know, debilitates us little by little on its own, like a monster. Well, this is the opposite of that. This is where we take something, take that little reading, deposit it. Jesus says until we say, yeah, this is not going anywhere. This is in you. Unless we want to throw it out. Of course, we don't want to do that. But as it's there, it begins fostering. It begins replicating in a good way, not in a bad way. And again, this is how we're also, I think, growing spiritually every day we wake up. Because when is most of your growth, your physical growth? Well, it's when you're sleeping, right, nurse?
Mm-hmm.
That's when the body can rejuvenate. That's when it can grow, in essence. Well, when, you know, Father Celso explains to us or suggests to us that when we go to sleep, we ask Jesus to come divine will, sleep in my sleeping, do whatever you want with me, take me wherever you want, I'm all yours, and then do a simple act of contrition. And that's the way we go to sleep at night. And God will, he'll take us up on our offer. And maybe we'll be like Louisa, who came back or the next day with dirty socks, even though she didn't leave her room, but she was, you know, trekking all over the world and the galaxy. So yeah, we have a lot, you know, God asks us to ask. And that's one of the things we must do to receive this gift, right? It's be in the state of grace. Help me out here, Mark. Be in the state of grace, have an ardent desire, ask for the gift, and have an upright intention that we don't want this gift just for ourselves, but for everyone. But asking for the gift is a requirement. God wants to hear our asking. It could be verbally, it could be subliminally. And I think he mentions about the fact that all of creation cannot speak, cannot be a voice. Their voice is muted, but we can be the voice of all creation. And that's why we have all these opportunities every single day, no matter where we are, in bed, in the car, at work, to give glory to God on a level of God, due to God, with everything around us, the desk, the phone, the internet, the electricity, everything we have is a gift. And it remains a gift if we properly use it. That's just incredible. I have a note here too that, and I think I mentioned it already, it's not so-called private revelation's role to improve or complete Christ's definitive revelation, but to help live more fully by it in a certain period of time. That's the actual catechism, 66. I think I have 67 here, but it should be 66. So again, it's not new, but it's new. How do you explain that? It's new to us. But it's not, it was always there. I think Father Annuzzi, I don't have my magnifying glass. Father Annuzzi gives a great example. He says it's as if the Catholic Church is a flower. It's a beautiful flower we've been looking at for 2,000 years. We know everything about the flower. We know the beauty. We've memorized it in our mind. Now all of a sudden the divine will comes and it's a magnifying glass. Now we look at that same flower And we can see so much more. We can see the photosynthesis in the leaves. We can see the fuzz on the petals. We can see the vibrant yellow in the middle. We can see everything more clearly. It was always there, but we just couldn't see it. And Jesus spoke, I think, one or two passages earlier that you read, Maureen. Jesus speaks about veiling. Everything's been veiled. It's like when Jesus closed the mansion and kicked, let's say, Adam out. Again, metaphorically speaking, not theologically speaking. So he kicked Adam out of the mansion. And now he's got to close the mansion up. So what do? He knows there's going to be inhabitants down the road, but it may take some time. You cover everything. You cover all the furniture. You cover all the belongings. You cover everything you can. You veil it. And that's, in essence, what we have. Well, we've inherited this mansion, and everything's veiled. We've come in with that ardent desire and that state of grace. Through the grace of God, he can bring us into the foyer. And now we have a choice. We have an option. We can stay in the foyer. And I can tell you, every house I've been in, there's nothing in the foyer. There's usually not a bathroom, not a kitchen, not a bed. So we can stay in the foyer, or we can start journeying around the house. And as we enter these different rooms, we take the covers off and we unveil everything that God has there. And we just keep unveiling. Now, he's going to help us unveil, but we have to have the initiative to do so. We have to take the first. He always waits for our first step. He's never going to force himself upon. He's such a gratuitous God. Such a gentleman. He really is. He's a gentleman. Mm-hmm. He waits for us. I think it's important. Also, I have your note. Excuse me. Page 95 of The Son of My Will. I don't know why I wrote it. Do you have The Son of My Will near you, Maureen?
I do not. Actually, I gave that book to someone and I never got it back.
I don't know where it is. But anyway, I have a note there, page 95. So it has to be something on page 95. Commensurate to whatever we just read, I think. Unless I was tired when I wrote it. Okay. Please, Maureen.
Okay. All the rays to form the kingdom of the divine will be enclosed in this sphere, and all the rays starting from within one single sphere will have one single purpose, to form my kingdom. However, each ray will have a distinct office. One ray will enclose the sanctity of my divine fiat and will bring sanctity, another happiness and joy, and will invest those who want to live in it with happiness and joy. Another ray will enclose peace and will consolidate all in the peace. Another strength, another light and heat. And the children of my kingdom will be strong, will have light to do good and to flee from evil, an ardent love to love what they possess. And so with all the other rays, which will start from within this sphere.
Everything's there. Everything's there for us. You know, let's take the sphere and let's go back to that silly analogy with the mansion. It's a blizzard outside. And God is calling us in. Get out of the cold. So we're in the state of grace. We have an ardent desire for this gift. And by the way, if you want to know what God is looking for in an ardent desire, so I said, what's an ardent desire? Is that a strong desire? Well, it's got some components. And I suggest you go to the website, queenofthedivinewill.org, and you go into the page entitled Divine Will Visual Aids, and you're going to find ardent desire there. It's not what we wrote. It's what actually Father Annuzzi dissected all the passages of what God is looking for, what the ingredients are in an ardent desire. And we took it and we made a visual. And it was, of course, audited by Father. He said, it's good. So you can look at that. Definitely highly recommend that, because again, I didn't know what is an ardent. I want to make sure I had that ardent desire. You know, just having love is not enough. He wants us to do a couple things, and they're not really difficult things. And they're things that have probably come very naturally to us if we love this gift. So again, highly suggest that. Another thing too, Maureen, about this is, in the sphere, everything will be given to us. Again, let's go back to that silly analogy. We're in the foyer. We came out of a blizzard. What did we come into? We came into heat, right? Maybe it was dark outside. Now we came into light. And if we're bold enough to explore, maybe there's some food there, or maybe there's a drink there. And perhaps if we're there for a long time, we don't leave. Maybe there's a bed there. So all is there for us. And that's what he's saying in the divine will. And it's going to be given to us little by little. And I love the delineation, Maureen, of the different offices. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nobody that has a greater office. I mean, well, Louisa does, of course, because she's the head of the office. She's the CEO of the divine will given to her by God. But, you know, whether you're a monastic sister who doesn't go out, or whether you're a bedridden person that has some type of debilitating issue that you cannot travel or go out of the house. I mean, God gave us the perfect example. He put Louise in bed. He said, you're to look like you're doing nothing while you do everything. So this doesn't matter how strong we are, how bold we are, how tall we are, how doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where we are. You don't have to have a microphone. I'd rather be in a bed like Louise, actually, and do it there. But we're not all called to do that. We're all called to live in this life. But there's no, we all have equal offices. It's like a big jigsaw puzzle. If you're missing a piece, does it matter what piece is missing? You're missing a piece. That piece is vital. It's important. It will not be complete, the puzzle, until that piece, even if it's a piece of blue that was to finish the blue sky, which, you know, so when I was doing puzzles when I was younger, that's insignificant. There's still a sky, I can see it. No, it's incomplete. Every piece is valuable equally. So whatever office we're called to do, however however we're called to share this gift or grow in this gift, is unique. And it really shouldn't be compared with anyone else, because it's what God has given us. Maybe he's decided that we're the best one to do it most effectively. It's a privilege. Anything, everything to do with the divine will, no matter what our calling, no matter what our office. I think it's important. Okay, Marie, thanks.
Now, all the children of my will be invested by these rays. They will move around them. Even more, each ray will feed their souls, and they will suckle from them the life of my fiat. So, what will be your happiness in seeing all the good, the happiness, the sanctity, the peace, and everything else descend into the midst of the children of my kingdom from inside your sphere by virtue of these rays? And then the complete glory that these creatures will give to their creator for having known the kingdom of my will ascend again within those very rays? There is no good which will not descend through you by virtue of the sphere of my will placed in you, nor glory which will not ascend again along the same way. When I choose a creature for a mission that must bring universal good into the midst of the human family, first, I fix and enclose all the goods in the chosen one, who must contain all the superabundant good which others must receive, who, perhaps, will not even take everything that the chosen creature encloses. This happened in the Immaculate Queen, who was chosen to be the mother of the Eternal Word, and therefore the mother of all redeemed ones. Everything that they were to do, and all the good they were to receive, was enclosed and fixed inside the Sovereign Queen of Heaven, as though inside a sun's sphere, in such a way that all the redeemed ones moved around the son of the celestial mama, in such a way that she, more than most tender mother, does nothing but feed her rays to her children, to nourish them with her light, with her sanctity, with her maternal love. But how many of these rays that she spreads have not been taken by creatures, because ungrateful, they do not all draw around this celestial mother.
That's an incredible paragraph.
Yeah, it sure is.
And there's no way we can hit everything on that. Yeah. Again, I think to repeat, everything is in that sphere. Everything is in that mansion. Everything is in that house where we came out of the cold. Everything we need, right? The kitchen, the bathroom, the bedroom, the water, food, light, heat. It's all there. That's all for us. And then, Maureen, what really touches me to heart is, again, the redeemed ones move around the son of the celestial mama, who does nothing but feed her rays to her children, to nourish them with her light and her sanctity and her maternal love. Stop there for a minute. That's the Blessed Mother. That's the role that she was given. She didn't say, okay, Jesus, this is what I want to do. This is what the Holy Trinity endowed her with. That's her office. And she's been giving everything to give us everything. She's been given more, just like a teacher. If you're a third grade teacher, you need a master's degree to teach third grade. But do you really need a master's degree to know third grade? No, but you're always possess more than what you need to do with it. I think that's really important. Talking about the Blessed Mother, I cannot help but read a couple of passages from St. Louis de Montfort, a great lover of our Blessed Mother. And this is one that really gets me. St. Louis de Montfort says, quote, "All true children of God have God for their father and Mary for his mother. Anyone who does not have Mary for his mother does not have God for his father," end quote. That's very prophetic. And our Blessed Lord is articulating that here. Everything. She was chosen to be the mother of the eternal word, and therefore the mother of all the redeemed ones. Children should obey their mother and their father, of course. God is asking us to get close to our mother, to listen to our mother. We're so blessed with the Virgin Mary in the kingdom, which has the churches in Imprimatur near Lobstadt. It's incredible the amount of gifts that God has already given to us, and the best is yet to come. Then on this, on a little bit of a negative though, on this last sentence, Maureen, but how many of the rays that she spreads have not been taken by creatures because ungrateful, they do not all draw around the celestial mother. I know a person, I'm not going to mention names, very, very nice man. Very active in our faith. He loves Jesus. But anytime in his opinion that Mary starts to creep up on Jesus, he's afraid he's going to insult Jesus. And there's no way to explain that. That's got to come from an interior change. But I look at it this way. Can any one of us honestly be more Marian than our Blessed Lord Jesus? Not going to happen. It can't. So don't worry. Love Mary. Because Jesus wants you to love Mary. Her son, S-U-N. We need the rays of her son. As far as refugees are concerned, well, there's been a lot of talk about that. The first and foremost refuge we need to take is the refuge of Our Lady's blue mantle. And then she will articulate what we're called to do. Maybe some will be called to store food, have housing, do this, do that. But we need to be under her mantle first. Otherwise, we're not going to be safe, especially with what's coming. Excuse me. Okay, we're ready. Thanks, okay. Move this up a little bit.
Ooh, so one who is chosen must possess more than what all others together should possess.
We'll go past that. I don't even know why I put teacher, but basically, as a student, we're all students. We're in the kindergarten. We listen to the teacher, especially when the teacher is our Blessed Mother.
Just as all find light in the sun in such a way that all creatures do not take the whole expanse of its light and the intensity of its heat, so it happened with my mama. The goods which she contains are such and so many that more than sun, she spreads the beneficial effects of her vital and vivifying rays. And so it will be for the one who has been chosen for the kingdom of my will. See then how the sacrifice of writing will be repaid to you. First, the good of the ray of that knowledge is fixed in you, and then you will see that good descend through you into the midst of creatures, and in return, the glory of the good which they will do ascend again within that same light. How happy you will be in heaven, and will thank me for the sacrifices I had you make. Oh boy, that could go with all of us, huh?
Well, we can take that in so many different. Being tired, being having to do a couple of things. You decide not to read or not to listen, not to grow closer to the divine will. Unless we've got some type of something that's urgent, because again, God knows our responsibilities He's given to us, and He knows we have to balance it. But think about it, you say, oh, I'm a little too tired. I don't want to finish this, or something. I've experienced being in adoration. And, you want to do your full hour and about 10 minutes before the hour, 5 minutes. Yeah. You're thinking, you start to think about things you have to do. And you try to get that out of your mind. And then you say, well, it's okay if I leave 5 minutes early. But, again, all these things that seem trivial are very important to God. Again, this is an ardent desire. Is that 5 minutes going to make a life or death situation? Probably not. Is it going to cause someone to suffer because we're leaving 5 minutes later than it is now? Probably not. So if we look at that, I remember in the Wall Street days, it's called the risk reward ratio. What is the risk as opposed to the reward? Does the reward outweigh the risk, or does the risk outweigh? Again, we know the reward is here. And God says everything that we've done and we're going to do is going to be kept by us and by Him as well. And He knows. And when we get that audit, when we're hopefully in getting the entrance examination to get into heaven, He's going to go through the audit. Okay, we left here. Why'd you do this? We better have an answer. Mm-hmm. And I think the sacrifices that we've made, again, think about all those situations in our lives, especially the unpleasant ones, the ones that we thought were setbacks, or maybe even sometimes life-threatening. They were blessings. They were a redirection of God, like a bumper car. And when a bumper car hits something, it gets redirected somewhere else, hopefully somewhere where it's got some space to run or to roll or whatever, hover, whatever it does. And that's why I love this quote by Horatio Dressler. It's called In Search of the Soul. It's not divine will, but yet a lot of things are tied to it. He states, quote, "We shall be deeply grateful that our life has been just what it has been, since it has given our soul opportunity to develop," end quote. So again, we look at all those obstacles that God allows to be in our way during our journey. All of that allows us to exercise our virtues. How else could we do it? If that person doesn't cut us off, or if the other person doesn't speak kindly to us, how do we have an opportunity to benefit virtually? How do we increase our virtues? How do we learn discipline? We have to be tested. We have to be tried. So all this really is beneficial to us. And again, all those other things we're talking about in the past, those big, which seem to be really, really bad things that happened, even near death experiences, where we came close to it. All of that, if we look back, if God's permissible will did not allow those situations to occur in our lives, if they didn't occur, would we be here today? I don't think so. Everything happened because it had to happen. I'm not saying we had to sin, but we decided to sin. And maybe God had to use some tough love. And we use tough love with our children. It's good. It's positive. It usually works. Okay.
My daughter, when a work is great, universal, and encloses many goods which all can enjoy, greater sacrifices are needed, and the one who is chosen to be the first must be disposed to give and sacrifice her life as many times for as many goods as she encloses, in order to give, together with those goods, her very life for the good of her other brothers. Did I not do the same in redemption? Don't you perhaps want to imitate me?
That's a good question. Do you want to imitate me? I think the resounding answer is yes. Again, he's talking to Louisa, but he's also talking to us. We've been given a mission. We've been given an office, whatever it is, in this divine will. And he's expecting us to be there when all the puzzle pieces are called. He's expecting us to show up so it can be completed. Okay, Marie, sorry.
After this, I continued my round in the creation in order to follow the acts of the divine will present in it. And my beloved Jesus added, my daughter, before man was created, first I wanted to create the whole creation, which was to serve as mirror for man. And as he would reflect himself in it, it was to serve him so that he might copy within himself the works of his creator. The copy of all creation, which he was to make within himself, was to be such and so great that all the reflections of it were to be seen in man like a mirror, and all the reflections of him in the creation. So they were to reflect themselves in each other. God loved man more than the whole creation, and this is why first he wanted to form for him the mirror of his works, so that reflecting himself in it, he was to copy the order, the harmony, the light, the firmness of the works of the one who had created him.
This again, so much there also. We're called, we've heard this before, to be a mirror of Christ. We've also read that when God looks down, he wants to see his son in each and every one of us. You know, God is restoring that likeness. Remember, we're created in the image of likeness of God. We lost the likeness. Adam lost it, and they lost it for us when he fell from grace. We're reacquiring that likeness of God. And again, being that cog that's closest to Christ gets to know Christ more intimately. And that's, I think, where he's called us. We're knowing Christ to a whole different level. It's not a new Christ. It's not a new invention. It's always been there, but we're understanding it better. It's beautiful.
But ungrateful, man does not look at this mirror in order to copy it. And this is why he's disordered. His works are without harmony, clashing, like one who wants to play without learning music. Instead of giving pleasure to those who listen to him, he causes bother and discontentment. The good he does is without light and heat, and therefore without life, and inconstant at each blowing of the wind. This is why I call one who must live in my divine will to reflect herself in the creation, so that, moving around within it, she may find the stairs in order to ascend in the order of my will.
Moving around creation. That's what we're doing on earth. And God gives us that mirror of himself in everything that he created. So we look at the tree, we don't see Jesus in the tree, but we see the tree as an effect of the grace and gift God's given us. The tree which gives us oxygen, which may give us fruit, gives us shade, gives us all these things. And that goes for everything. That's why these impromptu rounds we can actually make at any moment of any time of any day, no matter where we are, whether we're stuck in bed, whether we're in bed, we're in the car, we're at work. Everything is a blessing. Everything's a gift. To recognize him, to want to know him better, and to hopefully possess him as the ultimate goal. I think that's great. You know, Maureen, quickly, I know we're running out of time for this segment, but God talks about order a lot. You know, God is order. And of course, the world went into disorder when Adam sinned. And of course, now we have the diabolical disorientation with the world where good is bad and bad is good. But be that as it may. So God talks about order. And he talks about the end. So they may ascend in the order of my will. God has everything planned. Our lives, God is the author. Adam's first words, my God, the author of my life. Again, that's not complete. I'm sorry. but he mentions the author of my life. God has written the book for us. And he's given us editing capability. We can edit the book. It's not good because it's a perfect book that he wrote. But he gets us back to that book. But order is very important to him. And we read not too many days ago at Mass, I just found this very, very intriguing, that God again speaks about order, but then his mercy trumps even the order. If we could just read this quickly, Maureen, this was the, again, a couple of days ago, it was one of the readings.
Matthew 15, verse 21 to 27, the faith of the Canaanite woman. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the child's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment.
That's an incredible, incredible passage from Matthew. Her faith. She was constant. She wasn't rude. She was constant. And she understood. She had that awareness. She knew who Christ was. And she was happy with just the crumbs because she knew a crumb was going to be able to save her daughter. So as God said, I have to go to Israel first. That was the order. Remember, God's doing the will of the Father. That's the order, what has to happen. But his mercy was able to even trump the order. He didn't go out of order, but he in essence added something from his mercy, something that was dear to her, important to that woman. And because of her faith, because of her constancy, because probably of her politeness also, and her astuteness, he was probably intrigued by her a bit. Maybe intrigued is not a good word. Amused? Maybe that's a better word. Hey, got healed. That's incredible. So I guess the crux there is have faith and constancy. I think that about does it for this session. We're going to just sign off. I'm not going to disconnect, and then we'll begin the second part, the introduction of Saint Cyril of Jerusalem. So we'll end with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. We thank you for all the gifts you've given us in creation. Allow us to utilize all the grace and graces that you've given to us, especially to recognize you in all things, and to know that with you, in you, and through you is the only way to happiness. One with you in heaven, with the angelic choir, and through the gift of living the divine will, to return to the order, the place, and the purpose for which we were created by you, the prelapse heir and heir of Adam. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord. We thank you. In your name, amen. In the name of the Father, amen. And of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Maureen.
Thanks, Peter.